Welcome to the Niched Agency Podcast, where we delve into the journey of owners who have gone from saying yes to everyone and every project to thriving industry leaders and authorities. Here's your host, Ryan McGovern.
Hello, everyone. Welcome or welcome back. For those of you that don't know me yet, I'm Ryan. I'm currently the Director of Sales and Marketing for SEO Brothers. Prior to that, I was in agency ownership myself. Sold millions of dollars of digital services and helped agencies with their own personal growth. Joined with me today, we got a double whammy, which I'm really excited about. Bianca Blake and Prashant Mahajan of Clicker. They are co-founders. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. First of all, tell the people, what is Clicker? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so I'll kick it off. So Clicker is a marketing technology company. We specialize in helping our customers grow their businesses. And we do that through both marketing and technology, which is why we consider ourselves MarTech, or marketing technology company.
Sure.
We grow by helping them craft a strategy and pull it through using technology. The in-house technology that we have is a text messaging platform. We built it in-house and we know how to use it, the ins and outs, the regulation, all the compliance, et cetera. And because we also have the marketing chops, we can fit it in their businesses and the place where it makes the most sense to drive the most growth. At the end of the day, we're all about growth.
Okay. And who's your ideal customer?
We could say industries. Like, we work with lawn care companies. We work with supplement companies.
Okay.
Companies that need to drive efficiency. Our best customer is one that requires recurring engagements with their customers that don't have an intimate enough relationship to require a subscription or anything like that.
Yeah, I freaking love home services, by the way, for SEO sales. But yeah, I guess home services would be a really good one where it's like, you're right, it's not that close of a relationship where you need that subscription type based service. But like, hey, sending them a text of recorder, my guy's going to come around or whatever in 2 weeks and he'll be there at noon. That's really cool.
It works wonders for them. And every time they send a message, it rings the register every single time, like without fail, because people do use these, like they've already purchased a service from you. So you have their information. They know your company. They like your company. They trust your services. It's just that they need to be reminded that prompt to say, hey, re-engage.
Yeah, that's all it is. People, I feel they're not being malicious when they forget to re-up their service or whatever. It's just, you have so many things going on. You got a house and kids and things happening. Of course, I forgot to call back and tell them that I'm ready for my second appointment of my lawn treatment or whatever. So Clicker is a SMS-based platform where individual business owners can pay for a subscription to finish that sentence.
It's more or less a retainer because we are actually bringing our service, not just the platform, but also the account manager and like the strategy and all that. So we think of it more as a retainer.
Okay.
So because we need to get in there, roll our sleeves up and figure out how does your business make money? What kind of customers are we getting? There's a little bit of strategy involved and where do we put texts? And what we don't want to be doing is sending a million texts and only having like one of them convert. So yes, so you pay the retainer to have our company grow your business essentially via our text messaging software.
Okay. So they'll have a dedicated account manager or some similar title to help them through that onboarding process. And then also how to best set up, how to create a strategy. Someone's going to strategize, do a little discovery or something with them.
Yes. And because most organizations don't really have the bandwidth to be doing a lot of these things on their own, what we found is that if we give you a great plan and the tools to use it, sometimes it doesn't yield the best results, especially in the beginning, like in those first 3 months. If we get in there, I'm like, okay, right, this is what needs to be done. This is how you do it. Eventually, we might be able to back off the services if you have a person on your team that can do it and everybody's all trained up and knows what to do and we're finding the right types of customers to engage with, et cetera, then, you know, fine, pay a smaller fee and do it yourself. But for the most part, we find that it's really much more useful when we're involved as a Clicker team.
Yeah, because you ultimately just want their campaign, if that's what you call it, to be successful. If you could help facilitate that makes sense. me and my audience, we are a group of agency owners who have all been through the ringer or through many, many phases of business ownership. And we'd like to hear about our guests' professional journeys. If you don't mind, one of you, if you want to kick it off, what was your journey like? And you can go back as far as you'd like. If you want to go all the way back to high school, feel free. But where did you start and how did you guys end up here?
So I started my career as a software developer in an India-based services company. Later on, I moved to the US in Boston to work in an HR software building company, HR software. That experience was really, really eye-opening to me. Like, that was the first time when I actually understood where the world is going. And I learned a lot.
Can you expand on that a little bit? I don't mean to derail you, but what do you mean by that?
While working in Boston, you know, I tried to build a startup at the Harvard campus with a friend of mine and a couple of Harvard graduates over there. That was the first time when I realized what is the meaning of entrepreneurship and how the things just happen. You know, it was, TAFE was really the place where things really happened for me. It was really, you wanted to do something and the resources were there. You could actually execute it. The place like Boston was really nice. And I was really lucky to have an MIT graduate as my roommate and people from Harvard as my co-founders at that time. So I learned a lot during that time.
I can imagine. Did you yourself go to university here in the US?
No. I went there to work and I was working at that time in Boston. But I always had this habit of building some side projects and doing certain things. So that led to a friend of mine whose wife was there in Harvard and he had a couple of friends. So that's how we all got together and started building a product. It didn't work out though, but the bug of entrepreneurship, that was the first time when I realized that you can build really something great and not just work for someone else.
Wonderful. That was your sort of aha moment. That was the very beginning. Back then, was it your co-founders? I'm assuming you guys met pretty early on in the relationship.
I can tell you a little bit about my background and we can get into how we then met.
Yeah, please.
I started my career as a strategic marketer. So I went to business school, undergrad, graduate, got the MBA, whole thing. The standard kind of how you get into the big corporate kind of job. So the internship, MBA internship, got hired by a big firm. Johnson & Johnson is the name of the company I kicked off my career with. It was a great start to my career. And work for those types of companies like GlaxoSmithKline, like Merck, like Bayer, like those healthcare type of companies in marketing.
Yeah, those little small,
right, small outfits, right?
Just Johnson & Johnson, no big deal. Yeah.
It was a great experience to learn, kind of apply some of the things that I had learned in school as part of my career. I had an opportunity to work on several different brands, run lots of high ticket marketing campaigns, which included lots of strategy, lots of research, ad shoots all over the world. That kind of broadened my mind to think about things in a certain way. I also had a chance to do an expatriate experience. I left the U.S. similar to Prashant doing an expatriate experience from India to the U.S. I actually did one from the U.S. to South Africa, which completely changes how you think about business when you're operating in a different market where everything that you assume to be true, you have to question, like, is this the way we go to market? Is this what the customers actually want? The research, et cetera. So that's how I started my career. And to get into entrepreneurship, one of the brands I was working on, we were projected to go backwards, meaning that we had some headwinds coming against our category. And this was like, say, about a $100 million brand. We were projected to contract or lose 3% of the business. And over time, through some of my work, because my boss had moved on and some, like all of the people ahead of me that were my higher ups were either in transition or new or whatever. So I was the veteran on the team, even though I was a lower level, like manager level employee, but I was working late nights and traveling to meet, like doing all the things. And it turned out that at the end of the year, instead of going backwards by 3%, we actually were ahead by about 5%. Now, if you can think of that on a $100 million business, that's like...
That's a big old...
Exactly. I got the same salary that I would have gotten either way.
Oh my goodness.
I think that kind of lit a fire in me and said, wait a minute. A lot of this result was based on the work that I did. And it's not to say that corporations are all like this, but the one that I was working for at the time, the way that they were structured, it was great security because even if we had gone backwards, I wasn't going to get any less pay.
Sure. Yeah, it's not like you're going to get fired, right? As if that's your incentive to keep working with them. Like, we're not going to fire you this year. Congratulations. Exactly. But hey, all of the executives, they need second houses and they need pools.
Exactly.
They all need underground swimming pools at their second houses, and you can just stay where you're at.
And God bless them. Like, get your private jet, like whatever it is that you want to
do. Oh, sure.
Go get it. But for me, it opened my eyes to say, if I'm going to be putting this much work in, it would be great to have a better upside to the work, especially if the work that I'm doing is directly responsible for some of this growth. And I think that's when the spark for me of entrepreneurship kind of became something that I wanted to do. And I started looking into how can I successfully transition from being what I was calling a corporatepreneur or someone who's working with that entrepreneurial mindset, but within a larger corporation, to someone with that same mindset, but for a company that I own or have co-founded.
I love corporatepreneur. I talk to a lot of people, agency owners, like that's just my thing. I just talk to agency owners all the time. And a lot of them do start out at other gigs where they're in a corporate environment and they're building something on the side and they're just waiting. They're kind of in a either very long or a very short transition period between going from that corporate lifestyle to their entrepreneurship. I really like that. I'm going to steal that from you.
I was just saying that it's in parallel universe. I was there and I moved to India during the same time when Priyanka was in her corporate world. I started my first official company in India with a childhood friend of mine. That was the first time when we raised some money. It was not a lot, but we actually did our first angel round. That's how I started in parallel world.
What was the business, if you don't mind?
It was a search engine sort of on top of e-commerce. That's the product that me and my friend built together. It did pretty well.
Love that. Software engineering is your background, correct?
Yes, yes. I've been doing software since last 24 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So how did your paths cross then?
I was going to say that around this same time, I started my first company as well. I started a marketing consultancy. I ended up leaving corporate and starting a marketing consultancy. And we ended up consulting on the same startup in West Africa.
Okay. The stars aligned.
Yeah, for sure. He was running the tech department. So if you can imagine, this was a financial technology company. So the tech was pretty important. And they brought him on to lead. And they were also getting funding and needed to have a team that had credentials and knew what they were doing. And so I was to get them their first kind of big customers. And Prashant was, again, running the tech department, building the software, making adjustments, so on and so forth. So while we were working, this wasn't my only client. You know, it was one of a slate of clients. I was asking Prashant about technology. As a consultancy, one thing that I've learned is that you pretty much eat what you kill, you know, so it's project based. You get the project, you do the work, and after the work is done, the invoices kind of stop, you know?
Sure, yeah.
That business model, especially for agencies that work that way, the business model can be kind of taxing. It's really exciting because you're doing great work, but it's not cumulative. And so we were doing a lot of business development work, a lot of relationship, and we're getting great word of mouth, getting these customers. But first of all, like I said, you eat what you kill, but then also you have to onboard new clients all the time. You have to get used to kind of ways of working. So there's all this administration. It's hitting costs because it takes time. And so I approached Prashant while we were at work. This was like in, where are we? We were in Cameroon, Prashant.
Yeah, I think it was 2015. That's when we first met.
2015. Okay.
And so after we did the work for the company, we would kind of talk and I'm asking questions. How can we make this consultancy more efficient? Like, is there anything we do about all this onboarding and all this kind of ways of working stuff and all the strategy? Because what my customers paid for was execution. They want to see their name up in lights. Strategy, you can't really see. So I approached him to try and figure out how could I do that easier so I could take more of the project invoices, like the money, I could take more of that home as opposed to spending it on all of these hidden fees.
Yeah. So just really working on efficiencies. Cool. Everyone listening at some point has gone through or is currently going through some tough times with their business. I would love to hear from your perspectives a time when you felt that things weren't going well, if there even was a time when things weren't going well, and what you did about it and how you persevered.
We had some bad days, but honestly, not a lot of them.
Yeah, okay. So it was company founded in 2016, I would assume?
It was much later. It was 2019.
And you guys just took off and you just sprinted?
So the previous company that we were in, like, we both were winning a lot of awards over there and we were winning lots and lots of funding. So that's when we both thought, okay, perhaps we should work together. Now, if you really want to know, oh no, actually, you're right. I mean, we did have some bad days. I mean, the first product that we built under Clicker, that was for baby boomers. It was a simple app for video calls. And we both worked on it for like 6 months. We were about to launch it. And honestly, the day that we wanted to launch the product, WhatsApp launched the video calling service. Can you imagine?
Oh no.
That was the day. So the product that we both built for like 6 months, that had to be thrown out of the window right away.
Yeah, all the effort you put into that.
That was pretty tough. But I think what we learned from that, because we set out, I think initially it was about efficiency for, you know, the consultancy that I had. And then we started to think about when we're looking at efficiency, how can we make it easier for companies to get to solid digital marketing? So we looked at things like popular, like banner ad type of softwares, looked at like social media type of software. We looked at bringing all of that into what we were building. This was after the WhatsApp thing happened. And between the WhatsApp thing and all of the other software, we put some of that stuff out as well on the market and started promoting it. And people were more and more interested in the text messaging part, which is kind of how we pivoted. So to answer the question about tough times, it was the pivots. Is we think it's a great idea. Let's launch it. Oh, actually, we can't launch it. Okay, let's launch something else. Okay, nobody wants it. And then once people started kind of leaning towards text messaging, we sort of regrouped and said, actually, if we're building software over top of other large software that really want people to use their software and not a go-between, then we are putting ourselves at risk of them sort of changing how they integrate with other third-party softwares. And we'll have to constantly be on the look for an update in their code or something. Now we have to go and reintegrate and our customers have to wait for that to happen. So we use a process for texting that actually is meant to be used by independent software vendors or ISVs. Our tech stack is meant to be used in the way that we're using it. And I think that's something that has helped us turn around tremendously is that instead of using technology in ways that it wasn't meant to be used and then having your so-called partners and like, we don't really need you. We don't really want you. We're going to change it. A lot of companies do that. Like they try to hack around technology solutions and eventually you're into SEO. Like people do that a ton in SEO. Oh, well, let's just put a whole bunch of meta tags or put a whole bunch of keywords here. And then finally, you know, the search engines find out and then they change.
Oh yeah. It's a nightmare. The algorithm updates 500 to 600 times a year. We only really make pivots when there's core updates, but oh my gosh, you're speaking my language. Yeah.
And so if your whole business model is based on that and you don't have the capacity to make those updates and pivots, in SEO, your customers, they're not screwed until you make the updates. Like SEO still works, you know, but anyway, not to belabor that point, but
yeah,
if we were going to be riding alongside of a social media platform and they change the way that they do things, which they tend to do, then we would have to make. So all of that to say, we learned really quickly as we were doing all this pivoting in our kind of slow days, which is why to Prashant's point, we didn't really kick our company off or launch our company until we had an MVP that was working.
Okay.
So in between the time we met in like 2015, 2016 time to the time that our company was official in 2020, those are 5 years of us putting together the video app, realizing that's not going to work, putting together the other software solutions for strategy and efficiency, et cetera, and like pivoting and adjusting and pivoting while we were still working for our other company, moonlighting on Clicker until we found some that customers really wanted. And then we said, okay, right, let's kind of let everything else fall away and really go hard on this.
That's beautiful. There always is some sort of time. And I hear these stories all the time of like, I'm working, you say moonlighting, I'm moonlighting, but I'm also working on my project. So it was okay for you to say, all right, I'm going to cut off and start bringing all of my attention onto my new business, my project. What was the catalyst for that? It was just that you had one like champion client?
I would say it happened gradually. We both were lucky to have good customers sort of in the beginning, like 2019, 2020. We really got lucky with the customers. But there was one more thing that we never thought about failing. Both of us were always about like, this is it that we have to do. So I think I came fully on board in 2020, 2021. perhaps. And Priyanka has been on board at the same time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So really into the thick of it at the beginning of COVID.
Yeah. We never thought about failure, like in that sense. So perhaps that's the reason why it doesn't hit us. Like, okay, if the things are not working, it's clicker only, right? So you have to fix it and move forward.
Awesome. I love that. I've got a couple of hardball questions.
Okay.
First one, why is SMS relevant in 2024? And why should business owners be using it?
That is a great question. And I think when we think of SMS or text messaging, a lot of us think about how we use text messaging in our personal lives.
Our buddies. Yeah.
Exactly. And A to P or app to peer texting is similar, but is very different. It's similar. It's the same platform, but it's how you use it is a little bit different. So a couple of things. One, texting works really well to reach your existing customers and to continue to deepen that relationship that you've already established. Mm-hmm. It also allows your customers to reach you in a very easy way. Instead of having to sit through a phone tree or kind of get your voicemail or have to sit there and wait for someone to answer the phone, it's a lot easier for you to text them and for them to text back. It is extremely relevant for deepening relationships with your existing customers.
To answer this, I think that we should look at the other parallel mediums. So there is email, naturally. There is phone call. There is WhatsApp. Obviously, there is Telegram. The problem with email is that if you're not careful, the emails will go in spam. The open rate is pretty low as well.
Unreliable.
Yeah, you know, I mean, calls are pretty invasive. I mean, you're working somewhere, you're working in an office and someone gives you a call. You're not in the mood to actually take up the call at that time. Problem that we find with WhatsApp is that, first of all, not everyone would have it. And second one is that you may not like Facebook to read your messages, honestly. So most of the people really don't want people to connect on WhatsApp. Now, SMS is pretty immediate from the sender side, but it is not immediate enough from the receiver side. I mean, if you're working somewhere, I mean, you may not read it at that time, but you know that someone is trying to contact you. The open rate is sky high, like it's well above 90%. Those are the things that I find really, really interesting in texting, that it is not very invasive. It does not try to hack in your phone and collect your data. So you feel secured about it. You don't need to have an app for this. You can still reach out to the person and the person's privacy is not breached as well.
Yeah. There's also no training, I suppose, on the user end. It's like, I know how to do this. And it gives you instructions too. I'm just thinking about the last time I experienced this was a dentist appointment. It was like, we've got you on the books for this day at this time. Reply C to confirm. Reply stop to stop. I hit one letter and send, and then they know I'm coming. I totally understand why it is still relevant in 2024. And I have been using it myself, of course, through all of like the service-based businesses that I use, for my dentist to my doctor to lawn care, et cetera.
I'll also add another thing. As the marketer, it doesn't require a huge production budget. You get 160 alphanumeric characters. And yes, we can text in other languages. Yes, we can text emojis, but essentially you're looking at 160 alphanumeric characters, which means you get your message in, maybe you put a link in, and the other person on the other side has less to process because you're reading 160 alphanumeric characters.
You know, yeah, like, it's not four paragraphs in an email.
Yeah, there's not graphics. There's not a whole lot of copy. There's not a ton of GIFs. I mean, again, we can send videos. We can send GIFs. We can send MMSs if that's what's required. But you really have to be more thoughtful about the information that you're sending when you get 160 characters, maybe a link. So it kind of, I don't want to say democratizes, but it means that if you're a small or medium-sized company, or even if you're a large company, but you don't have like a huge budget to like do a whole lot of production and copywriting and all this, you can still have a really great connection point and deepen your relationship with your customer base by sending them a blast text that they're going to get and going to open pretty quickly.
Yeah, simple. Keep it simple, stupid, right? I think I might be less likely to respond if I were to get anything longer than that, or maybe even something with a GIF or with the emojis. I don't know. I've never experienced it before. It seems as though, at least from my experience, I know there's lots of different types of consumers out there, but for me, just keep it simple. Yeah, that would be the best.
Yeah, people don't want to have to log in to three different apps to read your message. It's like all of these different clicks that you're required just to get to them. And then you kind of get that drop off. Whereas text, there's no logging in. Like you said, keep it simple. I think that's the best.
It's so easy to use. I think about like another platform that my doctor uses. It's called like a patient portal. And they always want you to log into the patient portal to confirm your appointments. And also you can see like your whole medical history and medications and all that. But I call them and then they'll say, okay, log into the patient portal, click this, do this, do this. And there's like 6 or 7 steps that I have to take just to go through that same process that I could have with a text. I could have just hit one button and hit send.
That's a very good point that you bring up. One of the things that we did for one of our customers was send unique links en masse. Like say they had like thousands of people, like say you and all the other patients in that particular doctor's office. We were able to send the unique link to each person via text. So not an individual text, but load it up, send it out, but everybody gets their own link. So that when you get the link, you don't have to click the main link, log into your account. Like we were able to kind of bypass that login.
Yeah, take you straight there.
Yep. And they got so much more engagement on that campaign because people, you just minimize the amount of clicks.
Wonderful. Next question. I know Clicker is a major, major player, obviously. Who are your competitors right now?
This is a great question because texting is pretty fragmented. And as an industry overall, like there's a few companies that we would consider competitors. But I think that the biggest competitor that we have is the newness of the industry. So one thing I like to say is if you are old enough to remember when banner ads first started, when like the internet was in its really early days, I'm not sure if you're old enough to remember that.
Unfortunately, yeah.
You remember they used to just kind of flash on the like URL bar up there, just kind of flash, 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 and you would have to try, how do I click out of this?
Yeah, please go.
We see banner ads as a credible way of advertising their brands that had amazing brand equity because it just wasn't seen as something that was a credible, serious marketing tactic. And then you fast forward 10 years from that, where social media then launched and it was more or less just messaging boards and people kind of connecting with their personal friends. And then all of a sudden, social media became, we can do advertising. It was just like boosting posts here or there. And then companies realized, oh, actually, I can reach millions of people. And so now in 2024, we have beautiful banner ads. They have nice creative and they're native to whatever sites they're on. So people kind of, oh, yeah, let me look at this video or let me click this banner ad. Now we have social media advertisements that are, if you're looking at a reel or something, a brand might put a reel. And so it makes sense for the platform. And I think with texting, the biggest competitor is that we're where banner ads were 20 years ago and where social media advertising was 10 years ago, where people are still trying to figure out how do we credibly add this into our marketing mix so that it's more of a marketing tactic and not just some opportunistic way of texting people that don't want to receive this message.
Yeah. Okay. I see. It's not necessarily other companies. Your competition is other avenues of receiving.
Yeah, it's the reception of businesses in general to get on board with texting as a platform.
Yeah, okay.
Email took a while, banner ads took a while. You know, all of these, everybody was TV, print, out of home, and terrestrial radio. And now it's like, okay, we've got digital radio. Okay, we've got a ton of platforms that were not around, social media, like all these different things, pre-roll videos, OTT, like all this streaming, you know, media. These are all new things. But the thing that you fight with in the beginning is the credibility of your medium. So most people are using, when we first started and we got like a really big client, a lot of it was opportunistic. A lot of it was like kind of spammy. Like we went and bought this, like you do an email, went and bought a list. We're going to email everybody. Maybe one person will respond. And that is just not the way to use texting. And we talked to a lot of like higher ups at different companies and they were a little bit squeamish about using it because they don't like when people spam. The regulations within the industries have tightened up within texting and communication, you know, in general, have tightened up around spamming and compliance over the last couple of years. So a lot of that traffic has ceased and we're starting to grow up as a medium into something that's a little bit more credible. That's great for us and all of the other companies that are offering what we offer as well. But to be honest, there's other large companies that you can, you know, Google and see, like there's lots of different companies that offer a similar platform as ours. We differentiate ourselves with marketing and the strategy and the account management. But I think the biggest competitor is just understanding texting as a serious.
Yeah. Okay. That's a fantastic answer. And you kind of alluded to my next question, which is like, what makes Clicker unique? Like I use the term unique value propositions, UVPs all the time. what do you think yours are? And I think you just sort of answered it, account management, et cetera. But I'll let you expand on that if you'd like.
Over the years, one thing that we both have understood is that it's not much about the solution, but how you present the solution to the customer. So simplicity, I think, is one of the things that sets us apart. Our system is not complicated. And that is what all of our customers really love. That is very simple to use. We didn't try too many things and squish everything into one bin. Instead, we try to do few things, but we try to do it pretty good. And that has been the biggest value proposition, I must say. It's mostly about the thought process. I'll give you an example. People send emails and most of the thoughts go into design the email. You cannot define when the email will be read because you don't know when the person is going to read the email. In SMSs, from our side, more thought goes in how to trim down the message because we have 160 characters. So all the information have to go in 160 characters only. Mm-hmm. And when the message has to be sent, both of these things are something that we specialize in. So it's not just about sending messages to the platform. It's also about what you need to send and when you need to send.
I imagine you have a lot of data on that. Just millions of messages have gone out that you've been able to capture data on.
Yeah. For customers, like we first understand what is our customers' thinking. Mm-hmm. And then we decide on the message. Then we send the message. It is a fact that few of our customers, they were doing like $2,000 worth of business. And within a month, they started doing $20,000 worth of business. And these are actual numbers after they started using ClickUp with us.
Wow.
So that I think would be the biggest proposition, that it's not just texting. It's all the brainy stuff, the strategy, the messaging, the timing. Because remember, if I send a text message to a million people with texting, it is more or less a guarantee that you would be receiving the text message within 30 minutes. And most of the people will finish reading up the message within 5 to 10 minutes only. So the windows are very, very small. So you can be laser focused on the delivery of the message, when to send it. Imagine sending 1 million messages in the night. People won't like it.
Yeah.
But if you know when to send, what will be the right time for your customer's customer, that would be the win. And I think that's what we specialize in.
And I think, I mean, you already mentioned account management, but if I were to utilize a service like this, that would be my biggest barrier. Like, you don't have to be super tech savvy, but you need to know what to send. And if I were to sign up for a service with Clickr, I would say, you tell me, like, you guys are the experts. Here's my industry. Here's my ICP. You tell me what to say. I don't know. And that's where that account manager would come in and help me.
Yes.
That's right.
Determine what to say. I would imagine that's the biggest barrier. Like I said, you don't have to be super tech savvy. It's just determining what to say and when to send it. We keep saying simplicity. It's just simple.
It's not about tech with us, right? We're not here to sell technology. We're here to sell the solution because we have to solve the problem for customers.
Yeah. If you're a dentist, your problem is, I have people no-showing to appointments. I just want butts in seats. I want butts in my dentist seats, and I want to do as many services this day as possible. And you're solving that problem. It makes a lot of sense. I love that.
We solve a couple of other problems that people don't necessarily think of with accounts receivable. So for, we think property managers texting their tenants a few days before rent is due. It's a contract that you've already agreed to, but just that reminder with the link that you can easily like, oh yeah, let me just click this and pay my rent. With nonprofits that are looking to raise money, sending out, hey, we're doing this donation drive, donate by the end of the week, small dollar donations. Like, so you minimize how much engagement you require for someone to take action. And that's what's important.
Yeah. We're nearing the end of our episode here, but there's one more topic that I wanted to touch on. Obviously, as you guys know, the folks listening right now are all agency owners. How could a digital agency owner leverage Clickr?
Yeah, so agency owners would do wonderful by offering Clickr as a service to their clients. That's what we've always talked to agency owners about. And what we've seen them be most interested in is basically white labeling the Clickr service to expand their service offerings. Because we find that a lot of agencies are focused on either the creative or they're focused on more of the traditional mediums, or maybe it's email or something like that. But no one has the appetite to build or search around to find the right SMS platform to incorporate in-house. So We've had a ton of interest from agencies that want to be able to provide texting to their customers and just want to be able to white label Clicker, which we absolutely can do.
Okay. White label, it's not like a referral program.
No, we used to have an affiliate program, but we've gone back to us learning more about being involved and having that account manager, at least in the beginning, to make some success happen. That is something that we think is very crucial. So we wouldn't just kind of turn it over and say, okay, every sale you get a piece, we get a piece, like
rev share or something like that.
Yeah. Like let's make it so that there's actual success happen. Cause a rising tide in this case floats all boats, the agency, the customer, Clicker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. I was thinking, is there opportunity though for an agency to use it themselves though? Maybe I'm not thinking of this right. Please correct me, but I pay a lot of money for email outreach, for example.
Yes.
If I could find those same people, those same 2,500 people a month, I get 2,500 contacts a month that I get emails sent to our ICP or our service. Can I put that into a text flow and just say, like, I'm Ryan, I'm from SEO Brothers, I want to talk to you about a white label SEO solution, something to that effect?
So here's the thing about texting is that it's not quite the right medium for initial point of contact.
For the first point. Yeah, okay.
Because the people you're texting need to have opted in to receiving the messages. So what you could do is you could have an initial point of contact in another medium. Say you're giving a keynote speech on a stage about SEO, or you're in a booth at a conference and you have like a card there that says, you know, if you want to get in contact with me, text me at this number. Now you can send them back a text message that says, okay, right, here's my form, fill it out, let's get in contact. But either they have to text you first or they have to give you permission to text them in some other way. So if you had 2,500 people that had said, yes, I want to hear from Ryan about SEO, then you could absolutely load them up into a text and shoot them out your information.
Okay. I was thinking of it incorrectly then. Thank you for correcting me. That makes a lot of sense. And agencies are always looking for additional services. Lots of agencies who call themselves holistic of like your one-stop shop.
Yeah.
You know, they can continue to be that for SMS through white label relationship with you guys.
For sure. But going back to the example that you mentioned, like people do outreach in ways that they're not thinking. Like if you email someone, having a number to text in your signature, or if you're out and about, you know, having a number, I know people don't really use business cards anymore, but whatever those point of contacts that you are making, having a way for them to kind of engage you via text can be a good way. It's just that you can't do the way that you would have done with like email or even advertising, where you have a ton of waste. You send out a ton of ads or a ton of emails and then only a small percentage convert. That is the nuance, which is why texting works so much better, because you sift through that before you send the message. You can't do it. You just have to know how to do it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. But the biggest way that an agency owner could leverage it is by offering it themselves through white label. That makes a lot of sense. You guys have been wonderful. I've learned a lot today. That's going to do it for us. I think we're nearing the end of our time. That's going to do it for us. I've been your host, guys, Ryan McGovern. Thank you so much to our guests for being here. You guys were amazing. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in again. If you're an agency owner trying to niche or scale your business, I would love to talk to you about a white label SEO solution. You can email me anytime, ryan@seobrothers.co. But if you're interested in white labeling an SMS service or having one through your agency, you might want to get in touch with these guys. So Bianca, how can people get in touch with you guys?
Absolutely. Thanks, Ryan. They can email us, myself or Prashant, directly at our names at clicker.com. So that's Bianca, B-I-A-N-C-A at clicker, K-L-I-C-K-R-R.com, or Prashant at clicker.com. Or they can go right on over to our website, clicker.com. Head over to the Contact Us page and we will pick that up as well. So we look forward to hearing from everyone.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for taking the time with me. And we'll see you guys in the next one.